So this is John chapter 11, verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks for reading, Mark. Twice this week, I've stood at the front of a church building with a good number of people gathered together. And the reason they're there is because somebody they knew and somebody they loved has died. And there's a moment at the start of the service, just as things begin, the music fades and stops, and quiet kind of descends over those who've gathered. And at that moment, I kind of see everybody's eyes starting to look at me as I'm standing at the front, and I look around. I can see some bloodshot eyes, eyes with tears in them. I can also see eyes where there's a warmth there. Somebody's incredibly grateful to be there, to remember their friend, their loved one. And just sometimes also there are some eyes kind of looking with a sense of just the kind of, what have you got to say to help? What have you got to say that can make sense of this? I want you to imagine you're standing there. What are you going to say? What's the first thing you're going to say? Well, as I begin to speak, I'm incredibly grateful to God that I don't have to come up with those words myself. No, I've already been given words. Words that can make all the difference in the world and words that can make all the difference eternally. Words that are not mine, but belong to the one who we've seen over the last few weeks as we've gone through John's gospel. He's the one who turns water into wine. He's the one who offers living water. He's the one who healed a paralyzed man, fed 5,000 people, who declared that he is God himself, the great I am. He's the one who opened blind eyes, the one who spoke in John chapter 11, verse 25, these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever believes by believing in me will never die." And this morning, unlike on those two occasions this week, I want to add in those final four words of verse 25. Jesus asks, "Do you believe this? Do you?" Because there's a statistic that the world around us, and I guess most of us, try and avoid. We try and avoid thinking about, we try and avoid talking about. We avoid it, we hide away from it, we hold it off for as long as we can. What's the statistic? One in every one person will die. Maybe for some of you this morning, that feels, I don't even think about it, that's far away. It's not for me. For others of you, you're thinking, I just don't really want to be thinking about that on a summer Sunday morning. Maybe you're here and actually it's the thing you can't stop thinking about. And maybe the fear of death, for whatever reason, has got a grip on you. It's taken hold of you. Maybe it's because you've been to way too many funerals recently. Or maybe because of the news of a diagnosis to you, of a loved one. Or it just might be today that statistic feels like a massive, agonizing hole in your life because it speaks about the person who's not here with you anymore. I don't know how that statistic that one in every one of us will die lands with you this morning. What I do know is that this morning the Holy Spirit wants each one of you, wants me, to hear Jesus' words. "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, we didn't read it this morning, but things start earlier on, across, over the page in the start of chapter 11. Back then, Lazarus isn't dead. We discover that Lazarus is ill, that Martha and Mary, Lazarus's two sisters, are sent for Jesus because I guess they hope he'd come. Comfort them and maybe do something for Lazarus to heal him. And isn't that what everybody expected and hoped for in those verses that Mark read just a moment ago? Martha's question in verse 21 is repeated by Mary in verse 32. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I don't think they're saying that out of some kind of anger, but out of a confident faith that Jesus, if you were here, you'd have done something about it. It's there again in verse 37, isn't it? When some in the crowd turn and say, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Why does this happen? Why does Jesus allow Lazarus to die? Why does he raise him from the dead? Well, to show us that Jesus is so much more than just a healer. He is the one who raises the dead. He is the resurrection. He is the life. That's what John chapter 11 is all about. It's why in the opening verses of the chapter, Jesus stays put for 2 days at the news of Lazarus's illness. It's why he says, surprisingly, a little bit later on, that he was glad he was there when he wasn't there, sorry, when Lazarus died. Why? Well, I think there's 3 reasons. So that the glory of Jesus, his greatness, could be clearly known. Second of all, the love of Jesus might be deeply experienced. And third of all, that Jesus could show that he is the one who's able to do something about death itself. So first of all, clearly know Jesus' greatness. At the moment, news of Jesus' arrival towards the house gets to Martha in verse 20. In her grief, she's out the door and she's running up the road to find and meet Jesus. Verse 21, "Lord," Martha says, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." See, Martha has confidence still in Jesus. And she still has a resurrection hope. A kind of standard Jewish resurrection hope of Martha's day, that there is a future day when the dead would be raised alive again. And then Jesus says in verse 25, he says words that tie him directly to that hope. That future hope has walked into history and is talking to Martha right now. He says, the one who believes in me, even though they die, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Belonging to Jesus through faith, being in Christ, means life, even as you physically die, and that life never ends. Yes, Lord, verse 27, Martha replies. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who's come into the world. You see, Jesus is making his greatness known to Martha. Jesus is so much more than just a healer. Martha's saying, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, God's King, the Son of God, the Great One, stepped into the world. It's probably true that Martha has not yet grasped fully that because Jesus is here and he's the resurrection and the life, that future hope of resurrection enters into the here and now. And that through faith in Jesus, we can experience resurrection and life now, as well as in the day to come. But what Martha does experience is what I've often experienced. And I think what many Christians can say they've experienced through times of suffering and sorrow and grief and pain. And that is through those times, they have come to know Jesus in his greatness better. Now, in those moments when the pain is rawest, the grief is most agonizing, we're probably not aware of it. But over time, we look back, and I suspect many of us will have a story of how God has revealed himself in a deeper way to us, shown us the greatness of Jesus. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, we can clearly know his greatness. There's more. We can deeply experience Jesus' love. Martha goes back home, doesn't she? She shares in verse 28 something of her experience with her sister. She says to Mary, the teacher's here. And then notice what Martha says next. Jesus is asking for you. And I wonder what it is that John wants us to notice about Mary as she gets up to go. Well, I think it is her weeping. In verse 31, those around her, having seen her, got up so quickly in her distress, assume she's going to mourn at the tomb. When she arrives and falls down at Jesus' feet, we're told that she was weeping, and those around her were weeping. She falls at Jesus' feet. She echoes her sister's words, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus hears Mary's words and sees her tears, we read in verse 33 that Jesus is deeply troubled in his spirit. He's deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus is deeply moved and he weeps. And those around Jesus see him and go, look how much he loved Lazarus. But then we pause for a moment and we just think it through. Why would Jesus be deeply moved and weeping for his friend who's died if he knows in a few moments' time Lazarus is going to walk out of that tomb? When Jesus is described as being deeply moved in spirit, it literally means the sound of a snorting horse. You know, when a horse goes, something of outrage and anger here. I take it that Jesus is deeply moved and weeps because of the love he shares with his Father in heaven for the world that they had made that has been devastated by human sin and has the curse of death hanging over it. In our times of pain and sorrow and grief, we kind of instinctively know, we instinctively feel, don't we, that it's not supposed to be like this. And I think Jesus' response here tells us that we're right to think that and we're right to feel that. It means when we are hurting, When we are grieving, it is right to weep. It is right to cry out to the Lord, honestly. Jesus is deeply moved by love, not just for Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but for the world that he's made, for you, for me. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," we can clearly know Jesus' greatness. We can deeply experience his love. And third of all, we can be confident that Jesus has done something about death. John might want us to pause for a moment at verse 35 just to take in the sight of Jesus weeping. But the story moves on apace, doesn't it? Coming to the cave where Lazarus' dead body had been buried, in verse 38, Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Everybody around doesn't want the stone to move. It's a warm country. There's a dead body. It's going to smell. People had the expectation that if Jesus had got there before Lazarus had died, he could do something about it. They didn't have the expectation that Lazarus being dead, Jesus could do something. But what happens next, it's clear that nobody imagined Jesus would do what he does or could do what he does. So verse 30, Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" What Jesus is about to do is going to put God's greatness, God's love on display for everyone to see. Jesus prays out loud to make it absolutely clear that this is a work of God. So that people will believe in him. Believe him as the resurrection and the life. And then in a loud voice, verse 33, Jesus commands, "Lazarus, come out." Just imagine you're in the crowd around that cave. The moment those words of Jesus come out of his mouth, there's a stunned silence. Half of you is going, "Is this some kind of sick joke?" Maybe the other half of you is going, "Please let something happen. Please." The silence continues. And there's a noise. There's a noise. It's a noise from in the tomb, and out walks Lazarus. You can barely imagine what it must have been like. This is a work of Jesus in his greatness, in his love, doing something about death. No wonder we read one more verse on than we heard read in verse 45, that therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and seen what Jesus did believed in him. But that wasn't everybody. We jump ahead to where we'll be next week in John chapter 12. In verse 10, we read that some of the Pharisees who hear what Jesus has done and that many people are coming to faith in Jesus because of Lazarus and his story. They want to kill Lazarus. Lazarus has been raised from the dead, but it's temporary. His life could be taken away. One day he would become ill again. He would die again. He would be buried again. Jesus raising Lazarus, it was just a glimpse, a foretaste, a taster that Jesus can do something about death. Just like every one of our answered prayers in the life of our church about healing, when God does answer those prayers in ways that we perhaps hope and expect, they're wonderful. It's amazing. But it's always temporary. The person gets ill again. Person will eventually die. You see, Jesus goes on. He goes on not just to do something about death temporarily for one person. He goes on to do something about death forever for everyone who will put their trust in him. As the pages of John's gospel go on, Jesus enters into Jerusalem for one purpose. To willingly lay down his life. He goes there for one purpose, to die. Not because of illness, but because he willingly sacrifices himself. On the cross, he takes on our sin and he takes on our penalty for that sin, death itself. When Lazarus was dead in the tomb, some around said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? When Jesus was dying on the cross, others in the crowd cried out, "He saved others, but he can't save himself." Both times, Jesus is doing something far greater than the people could see. Lazarus was called out of the tomb, but one day would die again. 3 days after Jesus died, he walked out of his tomb, leaving his grave clothes behind, resurrected, never to die again. Through faith in Jesus now, you and I, even though one day we will physically die, can have life. Because Jesus has been resurrected, one day, if our faith is in him, we will be physically resurrected, never to die again. It's like we say sometimes in the words of the Apostles' Creed, that words that Christians have used to declare their faith for centuries. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic, small c, meaning worldwide church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. No cancer, no cataracts, no chickenpox, no dialysis, no diabetes, no depression, no A&E, no ambulances, no asthma, no wheelchairs, no walking sticks, no weeping. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? The invitation this morning from Jesus is to come to him with whatever hurt, whatever grief you're carrying. Did you spot where Mary and Martha met Jesus? Jesus had traveled to Bethany, hadn't he? But before he arrived at the house, both Martha and Mary went out to meet Jesus. In the depth of their hurt, in the depth of their grief, they chose to go to Jesus. Something deliberate there, something intentional about it. Like this morning, will you take your hurt, your grief to Jesus? Or like Martha, will you go and get somebody who is hurting, who is grieving? Will you bring them to Jesus?